Singing this morning. If you don't sit up front, you can't hear it as well. That is wonderful. If I can't preach after that, I don't think I'll ever be ready to preach. So it's good, good to have that. Good to be to see the hear that as you get ready to preach. I'd like to turn have you turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corinthians chapter 15, as you've probably gathered from the songs that we've been singing, our theme this morning, the text that we're going to be preaching on is the resurrection. The resurrection is a truth, it's a doctrine that is unique to Christianity. It's an idea that natural man in his own simple reasoning would never come to. The idea of a physical bodily resurrection. In fact, if you think back with me to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17, when he went to Athens and where he had the opportunity to speak at Mars Hill, you remember everything was going just fine until he mentioned the resurrection of the dead. And it's at that point that the philosophers and the men of the day, the scholars of the day, laughed at him. They sneered at him. For them, the idea of a soul being immortal, that was acceptable. And that's something that it seems as if all pagan religions come to. Some sort of immortality of the soul in whatever form that takes. But as soon as you mention the idea of a bodily resurrection, they laugh at that. It seems too absurd. It seems too fantastic, too marvelous to believe. That was the case at the church at Corinth as well. As you remember, the church at Corinth had a number of issues. And probably the biggest concern that Paul had, and the biggest issue that this church had, was their open disbelief about the resurrection. There were some saying, I don't think it's going to happen. That's a crazy idea. That's too fantastic to believe. And so in Paul's response to the number of issues and questions that the church at Corinth has, he addresses this issue in chapter 15, the whole idea of a resurrection. In the first 11 verses of chapter 15, let me just give you kind of a recap of what Paul's done and where we're coming from. The first 11 verses, Paul talks about the fact of the resurrection and the consequences, if you will, of the resurrection. That if this is true, then this follows. Beginning with verses 12 down through verse 34, he gives the consequences. First of all, in verses 12 to 19, the negative. And then in 20 to 34, he gives the positive consequences. And then in verse 35 to 49, he talks about what kind of bodies we're going to have. That seems to be one of the chief, one of the concerns that the people have. They see it absurd that this physical body could have any relationship to a new supernatural body. And so he talks about the nature of what that body is going to be like in verses 35 to 49. And then in verses 50 to 58, the verses that we want to look at this morning, Paul concludes by dealing with the victory that is ours because of the resurrection. And this morning, that's what I want us to focus our thoughts on this morning. You know that the resurrection of Christ is absolutely essential. It's vital to Christian truth, to our faith. Paul argues that in the first 11 verses. Without it, we don't have Christianity. Without it, we're the most men miserable. What hope do we have apart from the resurrection? So this morning, we know that, but I think oftentimes we lose sight of that. And my goal this morning, what I want to do with you, is just to put that back out in front of you again, remind you of the hope, and I want you to see that hope again, and I want you to, once you see that, and once you see what God has prepared for us, the glory that awaits us, I hope that you return back to Him praise this morning. As you think about, as you stand there in humble awe of what God is going to do for us, as you're reminded of that, that the response of your heart this morning is praise to God for the great things that await us in the near future. I'd like to begin by reading verses 50 to 58. Follow along, and we're going to look at these verses basically in three sections. In verses 50 to 53, Paul's going to make the point, or he's going to argue that it's necessary for all Christians to be changed so as to be fitted for heaven. So there has to be a change. That's what he's going to drive home, the point that he makes. Then in verses 54 to 57, he's going to talk about the victory results, the results of the resurrection, the results of the fact that it is true that we will be raised. And then in verse 58, he makes the therefore application. If this is true, all right, if you believe that that's true, then this must be true in your life. So beginning with verse 50, follow along. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This is a text that you've probably heard preached most times at a funeral. We usually reserve this text for when we're burying someone. So we can break with that tradition a little bit and talk about it and preach it to the living today. And this is something I want you to get a hold of. I want you to go out of here rejoicing, and I want you to go out of here with a new understanding of what God has prepared for you if you're a believer in Christ. It's so amazing, it's so marvelous that you're going to sit back and you're going to say, "I can't believe it. It's too wonderful." Paul even lacks some words to describe what he's talking about. But the best that we can, we're going to look at what he describes for us is going to happen, when it's going to happen, and the result that it should have in our life since we know these things. So beginning, first of all, in this first section, verses 50 to 53, Paul's making the point that all Christians will be changed. It's a necessity. It has to be. In verse 50, it sort of serves as a transition. Some of your Bibles might actually group verse 50 with the previous section, verses 49. And your Bibles might start the section that we're dealing with verse 51. Either way, we're going to deal with it. We're going to lump it in what we're dealing with today. It's a transition statement, and it summarizes everything or much of what Paul has been explaining in the previous section, which deals with the nature, what kind of bodies these new spiritual bodies are going to be like. And he summarizes it by saying this, and this is the point. It's very simple. He says, "Now I say this, brothers." Right, this is a statement, it's a term of address that's reinforcing what he wants them to catch now. He says that flesh and blood, that's the spiritual body, not talking about our inward corruption or anything like that, our physical bodies, they're not able to obtain, to inherit, to gain possession of, whatever word you want to use there, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the term for what we refer to as the eternal state. And then he says it again so we don't miss it. He says, "Neither can corruption be obtaining incorruption." That's why these physical bodies cannot be obtaining or be inheriting the kingdom of God. What Paul is saying is simple, that this earthly body that we have is not fit. It's not suitable to exist in the eternity and in the realm in which we're someday going to live. This physical body of flesh and blood must undergo a change. Blood and bones won't cut it in eternity. The word that he keeps coming back here, it's interesting, is the word perishable. It's perishable. We go to the grocery store, and if you're probably like me, when you